Lord, I pray that if there are times today when I say sun, but what's heard is stars, then I pray that that is what you want to say. Help me to speak clearly so that your words can be understood. Amen. So I'm doing two talks. I'm doing one today and one next week. When I was asked if I'd taught during Pete's sabbatical, I thought, well, I'm not just going to do one. I thought, well, if this one's rubbish, they might not let me do another one. So I thought, while the church had committed to be doing two, I'd take it. And so if you're new today, if this is your first time, it's not normally me here. Pete, our minister, is on sabbatical. And so if it is rubbish, make an excuse for next week because it's me again. If you remember here, you have to do the Christian thing of loving me. So if you're not here next week, that's going to be awkward. But hopefully I've prepared enough that it'll be okay. I am going to refer to notes because I'm not an expert. And so I try and do this quite slowly. Please forgive me. I've also got a little bit. I've got end of term flu, week 8. Any teachers in the room? Whoop, whoop, yeah. An 8-week half term was pretty tough, so end of term flu. I'm going to do a little bit of talking. I'll introduce the theme, introduce the verse that I was given to talk about. We'll sing a few more songs, and then we'll enjoy a little bit of a coffee and a chat, and then we'll all go home. So the theme I was given was the Spirit renews. And I did what every good academic does. I went straight to my phone. I Googled define renew. And what came up was to resume after a period of interruption. Resume after a period of interruption. And the second thing that came up was to give fresh life and strength. To renew is to resume after a period of interruption. And to renew is to give fresh life and strength. It might be that there's something that might have been put on hold. Something good that we might have had good intentions to start and then actually it didn't quite work out. That we need to resume those things after a period of interruption. It might be that it found its way into the background and that the busyness of life meant that actually it just got pushed back in our mind a little bit. To give fresh life and strength might be the idea of starting something new. Or something that has already been worked, but actually just needs a different outcome. I don't know, you don't have to put your hand up for this, but there might be some people who start a new diet, or as I like to call it, a healthy eating regime. Every Monday, that is definitely me. Every Sunday night, I have this intention of, right, I'm going to make sure this week is the week. And I'm going to make sure that this week is the week where my healthy eating regime will take off and change my life. And actually, 3 weeks later, I look back and I realise that day one failed. And it failed as I passed those golden arches, as I passed McDonald's, and I felt the need to go in through the drive-thru and order myself a Big Mac meal and a McFlurry. And so actually we have good intentions for things, but actually it might not come out as we had planned. To give fresh life and strength and to resume after a period of interruption. See, if you're not a Christian here today, these principles still apply. Where are there areas where we need some renewal? Where do we wish that we had new life and strength? Did we once go out of our way to intentionally try and help somebody and maybe don't anymore? Maybe there's been something that we do really good, but actually it's kind of been put on hold and we need to go back to it. John 3, verse 1 to 8. If you've got your Bibles, that's where we're heading for this first bit. John 3, verse 1 to 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miracles, the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He wasn't just any old Pharisee. He was important. And at the start of verse 2, he says, he came to Jesus at night. Now, it might have been that Nicodemus was busy during the day, but the likelihood is that he came at night so that he wasn't seen, so that his reputation was upheld. And he greets Jesus as rabbi. He had respect for Jesus, and Nicodemus was intrigued by him. Nicodemus says to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replies in the most strange of ways. He says to Nicodemus, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom unless he is born again." Now, you could just imagine Nicodemus' thought process. He's just been told no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born again. And he replies with, "Surely, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb." Now, I'm the type of person who asks stupid questions before I think what the answer might be. And there'll be a couple of people in this room that have evidence of that. I learnt a lot from people in this room, and normally it's because I've either said something that was stupid in the first place, or I asked a question that really I should have thought the whole thing through. But I wonder if Nicodemus thought, "And to re-enter my mother's womb." And he asked that question, how is it possible to enter my mother's womb a second time? And I wonder what Jesus might have actually have replied if it wasn't the polite version that we see in the Bible. Jesus doesn't say, "No, you idiot. I don't mean a rebirth of the body. I mean a rebirth of spirit." Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says politely, "I tell you the truth, nobody can enter the kingdom unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit." You see, as Christians, we have been given the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn to Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. It says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." Let me just read that last part of verse 13 again. "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." When we believe, when we give our lives to God, we are given the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift. And I wonder sometimes whether we actually realise that that's a gift for us. Do we actually receive it? When I was a little bit younger, I used to save Christmas presents that were like perfumes or shower gels. Because they'd been given to me at Christmas, they were like the best ones. And so I'd put them in a drawer, or I'd put them in the cupboard, or I'd put them under my bed and not use them because they were the best ones. And actually, as I got a little bit older, I realised that I was wasting them a little bit. That something that had been given to me, I was saving till best. But actually, I could have just used them there and then. You see, as believers, we can be given the Holy Spirit, but have we really received it? Is the Spirit working in our lives to its and our full potential? The Spirit renews. We believe that the Holy Spirit fills individuals through submission to God, that when you believe, confess, and are baptized, we're filled with the Holy Spirit and it's at work in us. But the Bible also shares stories of when the power of the Spirit is poured out on communities. In Acts 2, we see different groups receive the Holy Spirit where it is poured out on them. Firstly, the Jews, then the Samaritans, and then the Gentiles. As a result of these spiritual outpours, thousands were saved and then baptized. If you've got a Bible, turn to Acts 2. I'm going to read Acts 2, 1 to 21, and then I'm going to skip down to 37 to 41. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears it in our own native language? I'm just going to skip down to verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Peter had obviously never been to Ibiza. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just going to skip down to verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Using the words of the book of Joel, Peter had the preach of his life. That only a few days, a week before, he'd got it wrong by denying Jesus 3 times. And I think Peter thought, I'm not going to miss my chance this time. Read the verse 37 again. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We can receive the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, and I paraphrase, no, you idiot, I don't mean that you're going to re-enter your mother's womb. I wonder whether Nicodemus imagined for a moment what it might look like in Acts 2 when the Spirit poured out on a community of people. Would he have imagined the picture that we get to see now? Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Throw down your old life and take up your new Spirit-filled life. And so what's the challenge? You don't need to go hunting for the Holy Spirit. It's here. And whether you're a Christian or not, is there something in your life that needs a touch of a renewal? Something new? Is there something that's been put on pause and needs to resume after a period of interruption? Or is there something that needs new life and strength? when I moved out of home 18 months ago, I moved into a house. Obviously, well, could have been a tent, I suppose. It was a house. And I set myself a challenge that I would get up 15 minutes before school every day, earlier than I would normally, and I would just read the Bible. It wasn't anything amazing or anything like that, but it was just something that I thought, right, this is a new chapter. This is something new. And so I used to get a coffee, go and sit in the living room, and that's what I'd do for 15 minutes. And it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I'm really glad that that's what I did. And then a few months ago, a friend of mine came to live with me for a bit. And that just changed the circumstances. It meant that there was, by the time I'd get up, she'd already got up and the TV was on downstairs. And so my routine had been disrupted. And she isn't staying with me anymore. And I haven't got myself back into that routine. So this is my challenge. Something that was good that has been disrupted that now needs to resume after a period of interruption. Maybe you've got similar areas that you think are like mine. Is there an area of our life where we need new life and new strength? Are we thinking about different areas that we actually might need a bit more energy, a bit more oomph? Maybe it's, I don't know, could be you used to serve on a team at church, and just through various things in life, we've just become a little bit downhearted, a little bit, work's got a little bit stressful, life has got stressful, it's been busy. Maybe after a period of interruption, you could look at that and think, actually, is that something that I could carry on serving with now? Or is it an idea that you think, oh, I don't know if I've got the energy for that, I don't know if I've got the strength and the life. The Spirit renews. The Holy Spirit can work in us and build good things. The band are going to come and play a song. Feel free to sit and think, close your eyes, keep them open, it really doesn't matter. But just ask yourself in this time the question, are you in for allowing God to change your life through the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you in for being renewed? Are you in for looking at areas that might have been put on pause that actually could resume after a period of interruption? Are you in for being renewed?